Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to a beautiful day. This is Steve Williamson. Sitting across from me is...
It's Mike Cosentino sitting here. It is a beautiful day. It's been a beautiful
Isn't
spring.
Isn't it stunning? All right. Mike, we've got three visitors in the studio today.
Full studio this morning.
Yeah.
We like it
yeah.
that way.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about... Well, let's ask the folks who they are. And we have Mark Lucky, Alan Friedman, and Susan Hughes. And Mark is from Pride.
Sedona Pride.
And Susan's from PFLAG, and Alan is a writer and also a member of PFLAG.
Not a member of PFLAG at this point,
okay.
but an avid supporter.
Okay. All right, let's start with Mark. What can you say? The whole the Republicans, the right, got so much mileage out of anti-gay sentiment. Just year after year after year, it brought out conservative voters. Now that seems to be collapsing under them. 13 states, did you say, and 13 countries now recognize gay marriage?
13 countries and 10 states and the District of Columbia right now. All support actually have laws in place now that legalize gay marriage. And there are several states that have just civil unions. So we're taking some strides forward on that as well.
And among young people, I understand that depends on where you draw the line for millennials, they call them. And in one place they draw the line, it's 70% of them support gay marriage. Another place you draw the line in terms of the age, it's 80%. So is the handwriting on the wall? I mean, as these young people get into the system, they're unlikely to change their views.
It takes a lot of time to change perspective of people's attitudes towards the LGBT community. We've been fighting this struggle since before the 70s, before Stonewall. The Stonewall riot was really what propelled the LGBT community into the spotlight in national news and the fight for human civil rights.
And you're looking for equal rights. I think one of the things that the conservatives says you're asking for some sort of special rights.
We're not asking for any special rights. We want to have the opportunity to live the way everyone else in the world lives, with freedom and who we are and without being discriminated against on a daily basis.
I just want to throw in here just for a moment, if I may. This is not just a movement that's being spurred by our young people.
Alan, tell us who you are.
Sorry, this is Alan Friedman speaking. This is not just something that's being spurred and energized by our young people. There's been a seed change in the hearts of our aging population as well, insofar as the issues of equality.
So gray-bearded guys like you are changing their minds.
Absolutely.
Well, and I'll just jump in here. I'm Susan Hughes. I'm here representing PFLAG of Sedona, but I'm also a member of Church of the Red Rocks and led a process at Church of the Red Rocks to become an open and affirming church. And it is an older community at the Church of the Red Rocks, and the congregation voted 91% become an open and affirming congregation a year and a half ago.
Wow, that is the sort of progress that we see everywhere, right, Mike?
Well, it says a lot about the Church of the Red Rocks, I think, and maybe a little bit about Sedona as a place that will have that sort of openness, I guess.
Well, now, when I was growing up in Oklahoma, being gay was an absolutely terrible thing. People were extremely frightened. I remember we had this mild-mannered political club. And one of our members was arrested at a gay bar. And he said, look, I can't be a member of any political organization anymore. He said, they can blackmail me anytime they want. They can tell my parents. They can tell my employer. They can tell the school. Anything, I can be punished and exposed. He said, I can't do anything controversial. I can't. So they took away his political rights. And they didn't seem to feel any guilt about that at all.
And you know, in the United States, there are several states that still, you can just be fired from your job just for being gay if they find out.
Right.
Those laws are still on the book. So, you know, it's damaging people's, the laws and stuff are damaging people's lives and well-beings as well.
Why would people care? Why would people fire somebody? This is a rhetorical question. Why, why would people fire somebody just because they're gay? What purpose does that
serve? Well, let me take, you know, once again, you said at the top of this that the right wing got a lot of mileage out of anti-gay behavior.
They did.
God, Guns, and Gays was there,
right,
and they ran very well on it. We're trying to take away one of those G's, and hopefully that. But they're also connected. They also knew that they were interconnected, and I believe that's how they justified through religion. Was one of the ways, one of the main ways they could justify unequal or inhuman, if you want to go, treatment of another class of folks.
Will the church that you belong to support gay marriage and perform ceremonies, or is that still another step?
They will support gay marriage. Any wedding ceremony at the Church of the Red Rocks is up to the senior pastor.
Okay.
And he has performed same-sex unions. Because they aren't recognized as
legal.
They're not legal.
I mean, but he has... I think his term is blessed, you know, blessing unions.
So he can't legally perform gay marriages in Arizona.
Correct.
Because it's illegal in Arizona.
Susan, you're here more as a mom, though. Is that, or at least
I am here
equally
as a mom and as president of the PFLAG chapter.
Tell people a little bit about PFLAG. What does it stand for? What does it mean?
PFLAG originally stood for Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. It has now expanded to cover, as we were talking about earlier, the wide variety of alphabet letters that have been added onto that acronym, including bisexuals, transgender, questioning, and we're here as a support group. So, and particularly for parents of gay children who may not know where to go when their child comes out to them and they don't know who to talk to, maybe have no understanding and need somebody to talk to, and that's what our organization is here for.
And Alan, how did you get involved? I understand you were an opponent of gay marriage, and tell us a little bit about you and what you did.
Yeah, opponent would be kind. I was a sworn enemy. Number of years ago, I was very, very much involved on a very high profile level with a portion of the conservative right-wing church. This was back when we were in Canada. And, of course, we bought into hook, line, and sinker all of the theology and the posturing that still in large measure exists within the conservative church today as to the LGBT community. So about 20 years ago, my daughter Jen, this is of course back in Canada, came out to Fran and myself. And to say that we were devastated would be a profound understatement. In fact, we felt, and certainly I felt at that moment, that Jen had turned her back on all things holy. And we were just absolutely devastated. But the divine had something very, very different in mind for me. So after I went through a long period of mourning, if you will, with respect to what Jen had just shared with us, I got into bed one evening and I noticed a book that Jen had actually sent to us quite some time prior. And I hadn't picked it up to this point. I thought that this book was absolutely, had to be from the dark side, if you will. So I picked it up. I had this this need to pick it up that evening. And I got into bed that night, and I absolutely couldn't put it down. This book was written by two ladies, lifelong friends, one of them gay, one of them straight, and they wrote this piece that was all designed to encourage the reader to rethink their posturing, if you will. So I got into bed that night, and as I say, I absolutely couldn't put it down. And by the time the morning had arrived, I had gone from being a person of judgment to a person of questioning. Deep, open, honest questioning. And that began a process for me. And so now I was becoming intellectually honest with myself. Several months later, I was absolutely convinced that equality was absolutely not only the only way for us to go as a country and as a world, but was also divinely sanctioned.
Cool. Interesting. Do you remember the name of the book?
I do. Is The Homosexual My Neighbor?
I was reading, I think it was the Washington Post, a study said that the major correlation were whether people supported gay marriage. Was that they had a relative or friend who was gay, and that was the big decider. And so the people who didn't were very much opposed to it, but pretty much everybody who had gay friends and relatives had moved over and supported gay marriage. And so that's really what happened to you. It's the fact that it was your daughter. You must have been terribly shocked. And all right,
I was angry.
Yeah. Well,
I think the studies show when you step back from religion, the numbers just go way down or up, or whatever. But the acceptance, the openness goes way up. When you have some conversation, when you analyze the quote unquote threat, then it's the same thing with the death penalty, with a lot of major issues. But a little conversation and a little context, and the numbers of acceptance go way, way up. And putting them in the same room. I spend a lot of time at a coffee shop at Cottonwood, and I gotta, there's a certain code that you have to use, and if we're gonna have a gay discussion, I better use the right words to make sure I establish my, my orientation, either, you know, some small, bigoted, epithet so that they know, you know, which side I'm on. And they look for that. I mean, I think in a lot of cultures, it's not exactly the NFL locker room, but it's a little bit, and so those kind of subtle things, go on, as you guys know. Go ahead, Alan.
I want to ask you a question, Mark.
Oh dear.
I want to ask you a question. I'm assuming just for a moment that you're straight.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I want to ask you a question. When did you decide to become straight?
It's a good question. I've heard this before. I'm not sure that those, me or anyone else, makes those decisions. It's kind of as you do an identity thing. I mean, I was a high school teacher. You know, identity is important throughout all our life. And so your identity develops and you spend a little time trying to find out who you are. And somewhere in that process, I discovered straightness, I guess.
So you're saying that you didn't decide.
Right. That's what I'm sorry. That was a long answer to your.
All right. So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you think that could be the same thing for gay folks?
I think it could be, Alan. And that's a great point. And that's exactly right. It could be that. When did you lose control of the show, Steve?
You're my beloved co-host.
Oh, that's
my
beloved co-host.
Go ahead, Mike. I mean, well, I don't know when we lost control of the show, but gay rights. I mean, I went on the internet and I looked to all these websites opposition to gay rights, and I forgot to print them out, but they're very strange arguments for many, you know. God is against us, is against nature. It's, well, if it's against nature, why does it occur naturally? I mean, you know, and the other thing that I thought was really interesting was some of the, I guess, libertarian and secular opposition to gay rights. I read their opposition to gay marriage, and it just was incomprehensible. It just didn't make any sense at all. It just seemed to me like total gobbledygook. I mean, I can understand the religious guys. I understand where they're coming from. But this other stuff was just very, very odd. Let me ask Mark, though. What's it like being gay now? Is there still discrimination? You're out publicly. You're a public spokesman for
I am. The discrimination is always there. you know, I get up in the morning and I put my shoes on and I wonder who's going to say something derogatory to me that day. And I don't think that other people in the world always feel that. They get up, they put on their shoes, they go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make their living and they come home. I have to worry about every day getting out of bed and if I'm going to be able to come home tonight. I don't know if you guys heard about what's happened in New York City last week with the gentleman that got shot in the face. He just, you know, and it was an anti-gay thing. So those fears are sometimes always with us. You know, and that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm a spokesman for Sedona Pride. That's why I reach out to teens, who are struggling with their identities, and help guide them through that. It was a huge struggle. I came out in the early 80s when I was 16 years old, beginning of the AIDS crisis. So, you know, it was terrifying. The second you say that you're gay, you have AIDS all of a sudden, mm-hmm. or whatever. So it's a constant thing. My parents and I don't have conversations about things at all. My parents need pee flags so bad it's not even funny. and seriously, you know, and they need to read Alan's book. But they refuse to accept me based on their religious beliefs. So I even have the discrimination from my own family.
Sure. I'm sure
on a daily basis. Yeah.
So even though 16 is a long time ago, you still have your parents still can't accept the fact you're gay.
No, they can't.
Tell us a little more about the kids that you work with. If you have more to say about that, your parents, that's fine too. But I do kind of want to get to that.
Okay. The kids, you know, because I do a lot of social media, Facebook with Sedona Gay Pride. I do have teens that reach out to me, and you know, say to me in private messages, oh, my dad said this, you know, he used the word fag in front of me and, you know, I can't come out to him and, they're going to send me to a church counselor and they're going to try to fix me. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? So I get a lot of that, on a daily basis.
Wow.
And, you know, I have to let teenagers know that it does actually get better. You know, I came out, I was terrified. I went through it. I know where you're coming from. You just, you know, hold tight. You know, I have a successful career now. My gayness is, you know, second to everything else in the world.
It's further down the list than it used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, people go to church, you know, every Sunday. I do my own church thing,
yeah.
You know, so it's,
you can have a spiritual life and be gay. And,
absolutely.
Right. That's great.
The teens and the younger folks and the people that are even struggling to come out at 35 and 40,
sure.
You know, they don't know how to come out. They don't know how to be honest with themselves. They don't know how to be honest with the people around them. And I think it's really important that we start reaching out and teaching people that everything is good. Get up in the morning, put on your shoes, go to work, come home, be with your loved ones, be with your dogs, whatever. But it's all good. It's all good.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to hang your head in shame if you're gay. And the most important thing you'd say is to be honest with yourself and be honest with the people around you, even if that causes conflict.
Even if it causes conflict, because even through conflict, things get resolved eventually.
The current, I want to say movement, the whole same-sex marriage approval going on, as you said, in other countries and other states, has changed the conversation. And I think that's part of the reason we're here this morning. And it really has. And we're going to talk about, we were talking before the show about the choice of terms, gay marriage versus same-sex marriage, and that same-sex marriage is preferred and I think this is important. I think the semantics are important. And then the alphabet, and when you're trying to include, but I think we need to say it on a show like this, if we're trying to, and I admire the gay community for trying to include all
everybody. Questioning,
which is what they're supposed to do. So when it's LBGTIA, then that's what it's supposed to be, and that's okay, you know.
It's just getting kind of long for us old guys to remember. So, Susan, what does PFLAG do? I mean, there's still how much hostility is there toward gay folks that you see as somebody who's not gay and who's active in PFLAG?
Well,
Or is there?
It depends on where you are. And I think it also depends on who you are. I may see something that I find terribly offensive, knowing that I have a gay child, that someone in the gay community wouldn't deem as offensive because they're used to it. I take offense at an awful lot because I just see things and things are said. You know, you hear the phrase, "Oh, that's so gay." Mm-hmm. And I immediately take offense because, you know, and indirectly they're picking on my son, whether or not.
Yeah,
that
I was baffled by that, but the phrase that's gay, and I thought,
what does that mean?
I asked my teenager, I said, you know, what, you're not saying that's homosexual, right? I mean, what are you saying, you know? And he had a much gentler explanation of it, but even that phrase bothers you.
It does. Any time that, it goes back to the whole civil rights issues that, you know, that was part of my growing up. And I think of the words that we don't use today that were just horrible back then. And you hear those similar epithets against the gay community.
People hated that, but the civil rights movement forced a change in the language about African Americans, didn't it?
And
it
hopefully
it became unacceptable to say certain things.
And with any luck, the same will happen as we push forward through this marriage equality, mm-hmm. and you know, watch what happens with the Supreme Court and Prop 8 and DOMA. And if we can just get past it, there is no reason for us to have to worry about all these letters. We're all people. You know, we don't need to have definitions, particularly of our sexuality. It doesn't matter.
Very good.
Yeah, Mike, I was thinking that gay folks, particularly men, went through a terrible period with AIDS, and you came out during that period. And for those of us, I lived back in New York City, it was terribly shocking to see people that you worked with years that die and get these terrible diseases. Do you think that as well as the Stonewall riots, it made it more political, made coming out more, I don't know what, necessary or you felt stronger? Or
It absolutely made it more necessary. The AIDS crisis was such a big deal, and the gay men were dying all around us, and it really forced government, politicians, healthcare to take a look at how they treat everybody on an individual level. And it's terrible that the AIDS crisis happened and is still going on, but it changed the minds of the world because people were dying around their loved ones.
Sure.
And it was just devastating to watch.
And there were no rights. I remember a friend of ours, he died of AIDS, and his partner was not on the lease of the apartment, and his parents came and basically had everything in the apartment burned. All his stuff, all his partner's stuff. They broke the lease, which in New York City is a big deal. He had no rights at all. Mm-hmm. In the early days, there were just a terrible discrimination, and you just didn't have legal rights, and you still don't have legal rights to some extent, right?
Well, there are 1,178 or so laws on the books in the United States that are discriminatory towards the gay community. Mm-hmm. I like to put it out there that, you know, you and the girl that you just met in Vegas can go to a wedding chapel and get a marriage certificate or license and go live your happy little lives. Me, I had to plan my wedding with my husband Greg, and now we have to go see an attorney to legally change my name. We have to go see an attorney to set up all of our And I'm going to ask Alan to touch on this a little bit too, because he knows this a lot better than I do on some things. But the financial stuff has to be planned. Hospital visitation has to be planned. The state of Arizona, you can actually be kicked out of the hospital while you're visiting your partner if that particular hospital isn't supportive of your relationship. And it's, you know, it's a sad thing. I can't imagine my husband in a hospital bed and me not being able to see him.
It really happened, folks. It was, yeah. You had no rights as a partner to hospital visitation for family hours and stuff. And there were heavy restrictions. Alan, Mark pointed to you. What do you have to say?
Well, I could go on for hours and hours upon hours with respect to the over 1,100 laws on the books that disparage against the LGBT community. But suffice it to say that we're watching the Supreme Court very closely with respect to the Proposition 8 issue in California, as well as DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Hopefully that they will find themselves at the end of the day on the right side of history, R-I-G-H-D. But the one thing I would like to say is, we've kind of alluded to it here, and Mark has certainly alluded to it. When I was a prominent member of the religious right, in retrospect, so much of what I hung my hat on at that time was a function of my interpretation of Scripture as it pertained to the LGBT community. And I would just simply say this, my view was that the literal rendering of Scripture was enough said, that this was God's de facto position on the LGBT community.
But Jesus never said anything about it.
Well, I'll even go one step further. Yes.
I mean, I don't want to get into a big religious discussion.
But I'm going to go one step further.
I don't think he said ever said one word about it, one way or the other.
You're right. But maybe just as important as that, there are seven scriptures that I refer to in my book, The Walk, when we're talking about the LGBT community. I've called them the homo scriptures, and I've done that by design, because these are the scriptures that always are turned to in defining God's view on the LGBT community. But what I do, instead of looking at it from a literal perspective, I come at it from a historical, cultural perspective. And when you interpret it that way, you get a totally different rendering.
Susan, tell us about PFLAG. How can people, if you have a gay member of your family, if you know someone, how can they get in contact with you? What do you guys do? We don't have much time left.
We meet the second Monday of every month at 7:00 at the Church of the Red Rocks. We do have a website, and we are on Facebook. It is PFLAG Sedona Verde Valley. Our phone number is 928-202-4334. You can leave a message there. The call will be returned within 24 hours. It is a confidential hotline, and we encourage everyone to come out to our meetings on the second Monday of every month at 7:00.
And Mark, I know that the Pride is very, very active. What have you guys got working? We got 30 seconds, Mark.
Well, let me give you a website address first, www.sedonagaypride.org. You can find us on Facebook as well, under Sedona Gay Pride. You can look up me personally, Mark, M-A-R-C, Lucky, L-U-C-K-E-Y. And I can guide you through the community events that are happening. We do have a big festival coming up September 28th in Old Town Cottonwood. To yes. celebrate and educate the diversity of the LGBT community in the Sedona and Verde Valley area.
And everyone is welcome.
Everyone is welcome.
If you missed any of this, you can find it on vvid.org. Vvid.org is where our podcasts are. That is the website that you can find this show and all the other shows. So you can get all these numbers right there. Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.